But you couldn't leave them that easy a year ago. That rule of being able to transfer where you want was just a year ago. The problem is right now, it's a lot of empty promises from one side, and it's a lot of we want instant gratification from the other side, and there's not a lot of meeting in the middle. I'm not mad at Justin Fields. He's got to do what's best for him. It's going to be interesting to see where he ends up. There's a lot of names already thrown around, and we'll see.
I like your Volt Green logo.
You know what? It's a nice one that I paid for myself. We got a lot coming up on the show. We're going to spend a lot of time talking about Justin Fields. Zach Klein, WSB, going to join us. Also coming up in the 1 o'clock hour, a guy who went through this and didn't leave, DJ Shockley. He's going to join us. We'll talk to him from the other side. So a lot to get to today.
The law firm of Michaels and McMichaels is going to come up here next. Good old dog going to join John Michaels as we continue on Sports Radio 90 Time the Game.
It's 10 o'clock. Time for a midday party with Rick and John. Rick Kambla.
How's your hip swivel?
And John Michaels. Get you through the work week with a sports insight you can't find anywhere else. Two serious and focused broadcasters who can... I almost got through that. They may act like children, but their passion for the game is above anything else.
I keep it real.
Buckle up, Atlanta. This is Rick and John, and the party starts now.
And the party does start on a Tuesday morning, but Rick Kamla, he's off. He's got literally every Tuesday off until 2022. So Randy Mack is our Tuesday guy now.
The Tuesday guy.
Yeah, the Tuesday guy.
So you know where I'm at on Tuesdays. I'm here.
You're here, and we're happy to have you. And today is a day that, for somebody that's been part of the Georgia program, it's a really good time to sit down and talk to you. We talked about, we got some guests coming up. Zach Klein going to join us in the 11 o'clock hour from WSB. DJ Shockley coming up in the 1 o'clock hour. Big conversation today is Justin Fields and the fact that he is going to transfer from the University of Georgia. At least that's
the word.
The word, and yeah. Probably 90% confirmed. And then there's still some reports out there that said he may not transfer. So we're going to break this down a bunch of different ways. But before we do that, we always got to do some grab blank early on in the morning.
Always.
How are the multiple Christmas parties that you went to on Friday night?
Well, it wasn't a Christmas party, just get together, me and some of the boys. After Conti's shindig, we went down to my man's Edge's new spot on Spring Street, right across the street from the, like, down the street from the Varsity. And We just went over, smoked some cigars, had some drinks, listened to some music, had some fun talking to my old friends, George Foster and Keith Stevens. We call them Big Snacks. Had some fun just, reminiscing about our days at Georgia. My man James Young. Emmanuel, I mean, it was just a good time to hang out with the fellas.
Randy, we had I'm going to be very nice, the most interesting Uber ride.
Yes.
Maybe in the this lady, A, had no clue where she was going.
Right.
And, God bless her. She's out there making money and doing whatever. She tried to get us to come to
a church.
A church, yes.
Because you did notice that, like, we're in the backseat just talking like guys,
right,
cursing and everything. Right. And then when it got quiet, she was listening to gospel, so I'm like, oh, man, we some damn heathens sitting in this lady's car just cursing like this. But, she was overall, she was a nice lady. But it was funny because she dropped y'all off at my house, you and
right,
your wife off at the house. I got the Uber from my house, and she just made a U-turn and came right back.
Yeah, but the problem was the U-turn took her 12 minutes to turn around in the same subdivision and get back. She just was making me nervous, a little bit on the wrong side of the road.
Yes.
It was rainy. It was dark. I'm going, I just want to make it a bikes party.
And you kept, really, like, you were actually directing her.
Yeah, she had the app up to tell her where to go, and I'm like, no, you need. It's telling you to turn left, get into the left lane.
It was pretty interesting.
It was
an interesting ride.
We had a good time though Friday night. Everything was good there. Canes had two basketball games in 3 days. He was exhausted.
Oh god,
poor kid.
Oh my god, two basketball.
They played a team yesterday that you could tell the kids had been playing together for a long time, and it got ugly quick.
Well, I mean, hey, he's still learning, and my man, I just want to. The one thing about that, when your child is playing these sports, especially basketball, all you want to do is see them make one shot.
Mm-hmm.
The whole season, they can go 0 for 100. Just make that one shot.
Yeah,
and it's like, hey.
He's 0 for 4 in three games.
Okay, 0 for 4, okay.
Yeah, he took two shots in his first game. He didn't shoot at all in the last game or the second game, and then last night he went 0 for 2. He had one that rimmed out. I thought it was going to go in, and it didn't. But, yeah, I'm just waiting. That one shot, he may celebrate like he just won the World Series.
No, I'm telling you, you're going to celebrate more than him probably.
Probably.
Yeah.
Oh, I found myself – I try not to be that parent. Like, I just sit with we've met a couple of people there we're really cool with, and we kind of hang out with them. And I try not to be over the top, but there are times I'm going, get back on defense. Okay. What are you doing? Hands out.
I try not to yell. I'm always encouraging. So that's how I do. That's what type of sports dad I am. Mm-hmm. I'm very encouraging. I don't really yell at my child. I let the coaches coach. And
right.
I
don't mess with the coaches. Yeah. And I don't yell at the other kids. I'm just like, get back, Ken. Come on. Got to go over here. It's tough because I'm so competitive. I want to run out there and launch a three.
See, there you go.
Before it's all said and done. M.O. back there in a different seat today. Looking like Paul Bible. Thumbs up to you, buddy.
Thumbs up. Thumbs up from this side.
That's so wrong.
Rare occasion. Thumbs up, baby. Wrong. I feel like I've been playing Georgia therapist for the past 12 hours. Mm-hmm. Like, either you're talking people off the ledge or you're trying to convince them that this isn't the end of the program. Like, everything's going to be fine. It's a complete – if this was the Mark Richt era – and I know this is weird after 3 years, I've already turned a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a whole new culture in Athens right now. I ain't worried. Kirby Smart's on the up and up, and he's doing things right. And if we lose Justin, as it's about 90% positive, we will. All right, next man up. Let's go.
I will say this. I put a Twitter poll up yesterday. Had nothing to do with Justin Fields. Let's just say the Central Florida millennials love to get on Twitter. Because I put – shockingly, Squidbilly got in an argument with somebody about who's the best or the most popular college in the state of Florida.
Did it actually have a picture, or was it just an egg that he was arguing with?
Both. Okay. Somebody had a picture of like a sword. I think he was arguing with that guy. But I put a Twitter poll up, who's the most popular school in the state of Florida? Well, the Central Florida, what they call Twitter Mafia, got a hold to it. Like 5,000 votes on this stupid poll. And Central Florida running away. We're the most popular. No, you're the most annoying.
You're annoying. They might be the best team in Florida.
Yeah, I'm not mad at that.
I mean, popular, come on, man. Go back to kindergarten, babies. All right? It's not even close.
They're not even in pre-K.
It's not even close. As far as popular programs in the state of Florida, you're not even close.
Now, Bo Johnson in, and he batted nearly 1,000 last time, except he messed up with the fantasy football.
It was the machine,
Friday.
Man.
You blame the machine. Mark does that all the time.
It was most definitely the machine.
How you doing this morning?
I'm doing pretty good, man. Great to be here with y'all again.
It's good to see you again. Got your chicken biscuit. You're good. Put some jelly on there.
Oh, yeah, man. Slathered some grape jelly all over that thing, man. Went to town. Appreciate that once again.
You got jelly. Mark goes Chick-fil-A sauce.
Mark,
Randy went mayonnaise?
Mark, can you like clip from where you're sitting at that one right there?
Slathered some jelly all over it. Went to town on it with some jelly. Man, I put a little mayonnaise Chick-fil-A sauce. Went to town. It was like date night all over again.
I prefer syrup. Jelly or syrup. No, Dad! Mark, did stop me before I get
that
us in trouble.
What's up.
What the f*** is going on?
The sports world never stops. So if you missed anything, Rick and John are here to tell you what's up.
What's up, Holmes?
Well, we'll start with the Atlanta Falcons. They will take on a battered, bruised, beleaguered Carolina Panthers coming up this Sunday. One of the final two road games of the year in Uptown Charlotte, as they love to call it. And the Falcons, unfortunately, Randy, got more bad news. Yesterday, Ito Smith going to injured reserve. He got twisted around pretty badly on a tackle the other day. They took him to the bench. They looked at him. He kind of sat there and then walked off the field at the end of the game. But looks like he is done. Well, it's not even look like. He is done for the season with an injured reserve designation. That means we're going to see some more of Brian Hill, it looks like, backing up Tevin Coleman here in week number 15.
Yeah, and Brian was a guy that they drafted last 2 years ago. And he was a guy that they had, you know, they wanted him to we were talking about because we kind of figured Tevin was going to leave, so they were thinking maybe he could fill that Tevin role. Was up in Cincinnati on a practice squad, I think.
Yep.
And now he's back, and this is the time of year where you want to see what these young guys get. I can see him getting at least 10-15 carries this weekend. And it's a shame for Ito because he was getting better and better, and you'd hate for that young man to lose his rookie season with a knee injury.
315 yards on the ground on 90 carries, 4 touchdowns. He also caught 27 balls for 152 yards, did Ito Smith. What's interesting, Randy, and Rick and I were talking about this some yesterday. Tevin Coleman, by the way, you hear this drilling?
Yes, it's a jackhammer
right
there. Yeah.
What is it doing?
I was in the jackhammer, right?
Yeah, okay. Jackhammer. Yeah. Okay. But no, what's interesting, if Tevin does leave in free agency, you got two backs that are kind of the same in Devontae Freeman and Ito Smith, and this is where Brian Hill could get that opportunity. Hey, we need you, bro. We might need a hammer down by the goal line. Let's see what you can do.
That's exactly right, John. That's what they're for. You're trying to find a guy, if Tevin is gone, a bigger back, a more powerful back. I mean, as much as I love Tevin, he is – You wouldn't classify him as a power back, would you?
No.
As big as he is, you wouldn't really classify him. You need a guy that can move the chains, that breaks tackles, that can get that hard 1 yard. And hopefully, I'm sure the Falcons are hoping that Brian Hill can be that guy. You'll see this over the last 2 weeks.
Elsewhere, Monday Night Football, it was ugly last night. The Saints hold off the Panthers 12-9. they're one win away from clinching the top seed in the NFC because they have the tiebreaker over Randy's Rams, who gacked one away against the Eagles the other night. Cam Newton, it just doesn't look good for him right now. That shoulder is really got to be bothering him.
He's banged up pretty bad, and it's a shoulder injury, and won't be surprised if he has another offseason shoulder surgery, because you can tell, and I heard it yesterday, that he doesn't practice on Monday, on Wednesdays and Thursdays. Mm-hmm. And I know Noah personally. I know that's hard for him, and it's hard when you're a quarterback, right? Because sometimes quarterbacks get a rest day or something, maybe on a Wednesday. But for him to miss those valuable reps in practice, it's a big deal. But, I mean, they had a chance. What a play by Von Bell right there. Moore was in the open field on a great screen pass. But, I don't call it ugly because, you know, I just like football, period. I don't like to see an NFL game in the 50s. Mm-hmm. But that damn team in New Orleans, man, it's going to be hard to beat that team in that dome, man.
Here's one thing, though, you can see. The New Orleans flying offense that we've seen all year long, last 4 weeks has really struggled. They have not been playing the same way. Receiving core outside of Michael Thomas, pretty nondescript. Teams are doing whatever they can to take away Kamara and Thomas. So if there is a blueprint, Dallas may have given some people that. Now you got to go score on New Orleans defense, which is suddenly really strong.
And that's what you saw Philly do. They did that to the Rams. Mm-hmm. I mean, hey, just get up in the face, pay a cover two, throw off the timing of the receiving routes, and that's what teams have been doing. You saw Carolina do it yesterday. And Luke Kuechly, good Lord. I mean, he's still tackling people.
He made a play on Alvin Kamara on a cutback run. If he doesn't get it, Kamara moonwalks into the end zone.
But I mean, he's such an amazing player. But, yeah, the Saints, I mean, they've been up and down. I think a lot of it has to do with the loss of the receivers. I really do. Michael Thomas, if you can find a way to limit him to maybe five receptions, you can beat the Saints.
Hey, elsewhere, college football, and we're going to get to Justin Fields a bunch throughout the show, but there's some news locally down the street. Jeff Collins decided he's just going to clean house. All 10 of the outgoing Paul Johnson assistant coaches Monday were told that they will not be retained. I believe one of the coaches is set to retire. Everybody else is going to be gone. Now, obviously, when you have a backs coach and a B backs coach, that's not going to fit into the system Jeff Collins is bringing.
Yeah.
But Nate Woody, who was the new assistant or the new defensive coordinator this past year. So Georgia Tech's going to be breaking in all new guys this year as they try to change the program and move a different direction.
Curious if Woody goes to Louisville because his old head coach is there. Curious if that happens. But, yeah, it's no surprise. I mean, this is your you know, your first time big gig or whatever, and you want to do it your way. And sometimes, I mean, coaches like that. And what he's doing, John, he's a one-man recruiter. I mean, he is because who can sell the program better than the head coach?
Right.
So he's out there recruiting these kids, trying to get them to Georgia Tech. And, hey, whoever he brings in, I mean, they're going to be his guys. And like you said, they don't need an A-back coach or a B-back coach or an O-line coach that only teaches how you
dive
block
somebody,
and everything. Yeah. No, he's going to go out and get some guys and try and sell this program and get Georgia Tech back up.
He will do that elsewhere. Lloyd Pearson Company, they're going to play tonight down at State Farm Arena. Hawks Wizards, it is a 7:30 tip. Hawks 6-23, 4-9 at home. Last time out, they gave up 140 points. I know Coach Pierce, who's been a defensive-minded guy, is hating the defensive effort that they're getting.
Oh, yeah,
right now.
No doubt about it. Not even, I mean, I think even Mike D'Antoni would hate giving up 140 points. And we know he doesn't care about anything. But, yeah, this young team, I mean, when you're young and you turn the ball over, it's hard to overcome those things. And, you know, you got the Wizards coming in. John Wall's coming off. I mean, he gave the business to Lonzo Ball and them 40 points. So which one shows up? Which guy shows up? Because we know that he has gotten the Buckhead flu before.
Yeah, that he has. Yes. A lot of people have gotten the Buckhead flu. We got a lot to talk about when it comes to Justin Fields coming up next. It looks like the 5-star number 2 recruit in the country a year ago is going to leave the University of Georgia. Your reaction, our reaction next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com. Back here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, midday show with Rick and John. Randy Mack is in, and he is marveling at his new Twitter page. Is it at media member Randy Mack?
That's pretty funny.
Yeah, Randy came up with his own media member alter ego, and it's pretty cool. I'm actually a little, I don't want to say salty. I'm a little jealous. There's no spoof account of me. There's an at gangster Rick 1. There's an at media member Randy McMichael. There's an at Dandy Bunker. The fake Andy Bunker page.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, there's a bunch of spoof accounts out there which are pretty funny.
Yeah, I mean, it's all good. Just don't be doing that disrespectful and all that, which I don't think this person will. It seems like it's all in fun. So I'm good with it as long as you don't be, you know, doing no crazy messing.
The funny part about that is that there's somebody actually tweeting from the media member Randy McMichael account. Mark Owens, do you have a spoof account anywhere?
Yeah, it's my Twitter account. The thing is, if you're going to create a fake account, you got to be dedicated.
Right.
Like the gangster Rick account's pretty funny, but the dude never updates.
Yeah, he hadn't tweeted.
It was funny once, and then he kind of forgot about it. So yeah, if you're gonna do it, you know, go all in.
What was it? Gangsterdope.com?
Yeah.
The guy that picked up that account.
That's crazy.
Which is pretty funny.
He hadn't updated anything on there. Maybe he needed to sell t-shirts or something on there. By the way, I did get my spoof Atlanta United t-shirt.
Oh, you got one?
The Magic City.
The Magic City one?
Oh, yeah, I got that.
I just got my championship t-shirt yesterday. It came in yesterday.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Yeah, my house right now has been inundated with packages, stuff just showing up.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Every day. And I tell my neighbors, they're retired, hey, just make sure nobody comes by and swipes a package.
Yeah, they're coming far. I mean, a whole lot. Like, they're all coming at the same time.
Right.
So, yeah.
And luckily, I'm home before everybody else,
exactly.
So I can hide them and get them out of the way. Let's talk some Justin Fields, though. That is the biggest story. Dan Wolkin reported yesterday first that Justin Fields intends to transfer from Georgia. Randy, my first thoughts when I saw this was, I'm not surprised at all. We've been hearing rumblings about this really since about midseason that Justin Fields wasn't happy with the way that he was being used, the way that he was playing. You have to imagine when he was recruited, every school in the country told him, you will be my starter day one. But deep inside, he had to know walking in to go against Jake Fromm, he was going to be fighting a huge battle trying to become the Georgia QB.
And John, we talk about this on our show, College Football Game Time, here on
99
The Game.
This is a great show, by the way.
9 o'clock. We talk about it, me, John Chuck, Chris Goforth. We talk about it a lot. And I've said this all. I actually thought the rumblings would happen probably around springtime. I didn't think they would happen this soon. But this is not surprising to me. And for the fact that, my phrase, it's 2018.
Right.
I mean, that's just – when these kids, and tomorrow is National Signing Day, early signing day, I should say, watch how many kids say my next 3 to 4 years. These kids are trying to get to the league as fast as possible. And the only way they can get there is if they go out there and they show they can play. And Justin, if you go by overall just talent, he's way more talented than Jake Fromm. I think he thought it was going to be easier than – I think he thought it was going to be easier to beat out Jake Fromm.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think Kirby promised him a starting gig. I think he said he promised him he could compete for the starting gig.
Right.
And now you saw Jake Fromm, he got better. And I anticipate him getting better next year. And, and you can't take the job from him. This is his team. You know what I'm saying? And the situation that happened in Clemson, the situation that happened in Alabama, they're completely different.
Yep.
Because those quarterbacks that were placed weren't as good as Jake Fromm is.
Nope.
And so but God bless the kid. He hasn't actually come out and said anything that he wants to leave. The hardship thing, and we'll get into that later. I mean, I got to read up more on that. But, this is not surprising at all.
Here's what's also not surprising is that a top-ranked quarterback would transfer. Chris Hummer tweeted this. He said there have been 19 24/7 Sports composite five-star quarterbacks since 2011. Justin Fields would become the 11th to transfer from the school he initially signed with. So over 50% of the top-ranked QBs have transferred.
Since when?
Since 2011. To go even further, every year since 2010 – a top two, meaning the number one or number two ranked quarterback, has transferred. So I'll go through the list. 2010, Phillip Sims, think about that, was the number one quarterback in the country. He transferred. Jeff Driscoll, 2011, he transferred when he left Florida. Gunnar Keel, who went to Notre Dame and then ended up at Cincinnati, he transferred. Max Brown, with the extra E on his name, went from USC to Pittsburgh. Kyle Allen transferred, went from Texas A&M to Houston. You then had Blake Barnett, who... Blake Barnett was the number two quarterback in the country.
Yeah,
coming
he was.
Out. Transferred to South Florida. Jacob Eason, as we know, transferred. Shea Patterson was the number one. They both transferred the same year. And Hunter Johnson, who was the number two quarterback in 2017. This is all according to 24/7 Sports. They transferred. So if Justin Fields transfers, that will be every year since 2010, the number one or number two quarterback have transferred from the school that they go to. So that's, again, I follow recruiting to a certain extent.
Right.
Obviously, it's the lifeblood of your program. But this is why I don't get overly excited or bent out of shape. Oh, I got 8 5-stars. Show me what you can do on the college football field. It's awesome that you light up Lassiter or you beat up on Marietta. That's great. And Justin Fields is a star.
Yes.
I think he will be a star. But when you get him on campus, you now got to develop him. And the kid has to take a job from somebody that's probably been there longer than he has.
Yeah, and I'm 100% with you on the whole stars and all that. And kid, I mean, it's just not quarterbacks transferring, other kids transferring also, but the quarterback position, this is just a different animal. You know how that is. And these kids want to play. And I heard you during the crosstalk, you said a lot of kids, they want that stuff, you know, they want it now.
Yep.
We live in a microwave society, punch a button and it's time to eat. And I just think that Kirby and the staff, they didn't have a plan for him either.
Nope.
And that was the most frustrating thing to me was you bring him in for a play, you take him out. No, if you're going to put him out there, let him play. That was my only issue with – how they used Justin Fields was, if you're going to put him in there, let the kid play. Don't put him out there for a play expecting him to make a spark, then take him back out the game when it doesn't happen. Let him play a little bit more. But I think that was the thing that, you know, but do you think that Georgia's going to stop recruiting top five?
Absolutely
five-star
not.
Quarterbacks? No. You recruit them every program recruits a top quarterback every year. Alabama recruited another five-star quarterback when they had Tua, when he's a freshman. I mean, that's what you do. The whole thing is you got to have a plan for him, because nowadays kids don't go to schools anymore because of the school. They go because of the head coach and the quickest way to the league and all these things. That's why they go to these schools. And Justin, he was a Penn State commit, decided to come to Georgia. And I honestly do think that he thought that he was going to beat out Jake Fromm this year.
I do as well. What's interesting, and you mentioned the way that they used him, there were opportunities they could have used him.
Yeah.
He threw eight passes against Austin Peay. That's fine. He threw one against South Carolina. The game was a blowout.
I was
at your house watching South.
Let the kid play.
He could have played in the fourth quarter and actually got some reps. Threw eight passes against Middle Tennessee. Did not throw a pass against Missouri. He did run it one time. Ran it five times against Tennessee. Only threw it twice. Tennessee was another blowout game for the most part. Get him in there. Vandy, a game that you won handily. He threw six passes there. None against LSU. None against Kentucky. Two against Auburn. Eight against UMass. Three against Georgia Tech, and then one ill-fated throw in the championship game against Alabama. He only got 39 attempts throwing the football. He ran it 42 times. What I felt like when they brought him into the higher leverage games, it felt like they had limited him. You're going to run the football, and that's all you're going to do.
I agree with you, and that's why I said if that's what, and I'm sure that's what frustrated him a lot, is that, you know, if you're going to let me play, okay, I didn't win a starting job. But you said I'm going to play, because I told everybody he's going to play this year. No, they didn't. No, he's going to play this year. The frustrating part is I'm sure he even thought, what's the plan for me? Mm-hmm. And that's what I'm saying. When you have these young men, especially quarterbacks, because that's one of those running backs, you can rotate running back.
Sure.
But the quarterback position, you got to find, you know, because I don't like the two-headed quarterback thing. That's just, I've never been a big fan of it. But if you're going to do it, you got to have a plan for a guy like Justin Fields. He has a lot of gifts outside of just being a runner.
And that's where, to me, when we were at spring practice, when we went to the G-Day game, and you're going, all right, well, what do you do with Justin Fields? I would have almost rather them said, look, every third series we're putting him in, or the third series of each quarter, or whatever it may be, that's when he's going to play, and it's going to be the full package. You're going to give him every opportunity to run the playbook the way that Jake Fromm ran it. And they didn't do that. And to me, and there's a video circulating. I think Zach Klein may have been the one that got the video.
Yeah, the South Carolina. Right.
Of him saying, I didn't do anything, but I handed it off like a you-know-what.
Yeah. And coming into the season, we were talking about how would they use him. And I was like, well, why don't they use him like Coach Rick used Greeny in Shock?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think it was every third series.
Right.
DJ came in, and he came in. He didn't come in for a play, and Greeny came back on the field. It was just him out there playing. So I just think they did a terrible job of handling him, because and he's a young guy, a young man, a kid, and that's frustrating, because – ever since he's been in the 10th grade, you had people in his ear.
Right, you're the best player in the country.
You're the best player, and eventually you start believing it, and you think that you deserve more than you deserve more than you got.
Here's some of the audio of him leaving the field against South Carolina way back in September. Can't really make out what he's saying there, but it's basically him saying, I handed the ball off like a, that's it.
And that goes back to, you know, let me look out for me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so your team just won a game, and you should be cool with it. But you're not. But if you don't contribute, sometimes you feel like, you know, I didn't contribute to the win, so why am I happy?
Mark's going to transcribe it. We're going to play this one more time just so you hear what he said. Leaving the field with South Carolina.
So it's only about 10 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't know the context leading up to this and the context following
it.
But he said, I handed the ball off good as I didn't do ish, bro.
Yeah. And that's, again, go back to what you say, Randy. You just won an SEC game at the time was a huge win for Georgia.
Right.
And you beat the hell out of South Carolina, and you have somebody that's unfortunately thinking about something else. I wonder now, and this is, I'm not putting the blame on Justin Fields because he's an 18-year-old kid.
At all.
But today's society lends itself to a lot more of this.
Yeah.
It's the me society. It's all about what I'm doing, the hell with the team. It's what have I done? What is it about for me? And it's not just him. I just mentioned all those transfer quarterbacks. It's an entitled society, and it's a me society. And it becomes a very slippery slope when it comes to college football recruiting.
Yeah, and for the grown men who are trying to attack Justin, you need to be ashamed of your damn self, all right? I mean, this young man, he is allowed to go where he wants to go. I know we always use the example of the coaches can leave when they want to. If they put this rule in for kids like Justin, who, hey, I'm not gonna be the starting quarterback at Georgia anytime soon.
Right.
Let me go somewhere else so I can get my shine. Because once again, and you'll hear it tomorrow, because I usually sit down and watch a recruiting show.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll sit there and you'll watch every kid that's on that damn stage with all them hats looking like a moron. My next 3 to 4 years, you will hear that constantly.
Right.
Because that's what they're thinking about. And I'm not mad at them for thinking about that. Go get yours, young fella. Why not?
Our hat just gets flipped on the floor so many times. I really hate the hat game.
So dude, it's just stupid.
Now, you didn't play the hat game when you got recruited.
Hell no. It was between Georgia, Middle Tennessee State, and Fort Valley State.
So you ain't either of the other two hats?
Man, mama could afford that hat. That new era? Shoot.
Yeah, back then it was like the trucker mesh hat, so it was a little bit different.
Yeah, mama couldn't afford that new era hat for me.
No, what becomes interesting now, and we'll get into this coming up the 11 o'clock hour, is there is a possibility that Justin Fields could transfer and be immediately eligible.
Yes.
We'll get to that in the 11 o'clock hour. And something else to ponder, the last two Heisman Trophy winners, they were
all both transfers.
So it could work if you go to another school. Bo Johnson, we're going to read between the lines next with him.
So Zach Klein got Justin Fields coming off the field at the SEC Championship. He was trying to sound politically correct, but didn't really come off to me as doing so. And Marcus Peters blew up on Sunday, but not on the field. That'll be right after this on Sports Radio 99 The Game and 99thegame.com.
Wait, what? What was that?
Let me see you. Wow.
Did you hear that? Well, that's just wrong.
What the hell?
MO brings in noise you may have missed or need to hear again with Read Between the Lines with Rick and John on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
We got to read between the lines now. Not with Mark Owens. He's moved chairs over. He's Paul Bible today, and Mark Owens is now Bo Johnson. So Bo's going to read between the lines. We got all kinds of good sound coming up right about now.
I did get frustrated earlier in the year, but as the season went on, I kind of accepted the role, and I just kind of, you know, just wanted it for the team. No matter Jake was in or I was in, all I wanted was to win the game. Like, if I didn't play the whole game, if we won the game, I'd have been happier if I would have played the whole game. So, I mean, you know, I feel like coming here and probably could have went some other places, but I feel like coming here has definitely made me a better quarterback, and I feel like coming here, like, I didn't want it to be handed to me like some other schools would have had. So I came here, and I'm gonna just keep working future of this program. I mean, there's nowhere but up from here. I mean, I already know the guys on the team. I know what they're feeling like right now. I know their work ethic. So they're not gonna stop working. We're not gonna stop. We're just gonna continue to get better. I know this kind of sounds like cliche, but it's really the people that make Georgia who it is. I mean, I just thank God for him putting me in the position I am and with the people I am, because he's definitely surrounded me with people that are going to help me improve in life and football and all aspects.
Well, I mean, of course he's saying, like Bo said, he's trying to be politically correct and all those things. I get it. And the young man, he wanted to come here and compete. That's why he came to Georgia, to compete with Jake. And all honesty, I think he made Jake a better player.
Yeah.
Because I know Jake didn't want to sit down. And, you know, he could have went anywhere in the country, and somebody probably would have handed him the job. He came to Georgia, and Kirby didn't hand him the job. But I still think, I mean, I don't want to say they wasted his freshman year, John, but, I mean, they could have used him a lot better.
Well, and
they could have used him a lot better.
They did waste it. And Auburn had a kid. What's the kid's name? Asa Martin. I think running back.
Yes.
Who they accidentally burned his red shirt.
Uh-huh.
And guess what? He transferred. He said, I'm out of here. Because these kids aren't stupid. They realize, all right, you've got this rule in place that we could use. And that's always been my thing with Justin Fields. If you're going to use him, use him. If not, play him 4 games in red shirt.
Exactly. That's what I keep coming back to. If you're going to play, because I would get so mad when he would come in the game. Because I know he's going to be in there for one play. If you're going to play this young man, let him play. Mm-hmm. Because I'm pretty sure that even though he didn't beat out Jake, I'm pretty sure that he thought once he went in, he was going to get extended playing time. Not a play here or a play there. We're going to put him in and run a quarterback draw or a quarterback counter and all that. I'm sure that's not what he thought was going to happen.
And he definitely sounded like after – and that soundbite for Justin Fields was after the SEC championship game. He was wanting to say something, but he was talking himself out of it as he was saying something else. That's what it sounded like there, and that's credit to Zach Klein, who got that sound. He'll join us coming up at 11:20.
So as you all know, the Rams got beat on Sunday by the Philadelphia Eagles.
We don't need you all festive about this either, Bo.
Well, I am kind of festive, but I wasn't even going to bring that part of it up.
But you suddenly smiled as soon as you said the Rams got beat.
Marcus Peters, who joined the Rams this season, though, has had kind of an up-and-down year. You know, he was coming in, supposed to be locked down with Aqib Talib. Aqib Talib gets hurt. Marcus Peters kind of let out some of his frustrations on Sunday when I guess some fan or heckler was asking about where he lived.
Where you from? Where you from, homie? Where you from? Where you from, homie?
Wow.
I love it.
So Marcus Peters goes into the stands.
Really?
Okay, and confronts this fan, and nobody that's working the gate right there at the stands decided that they wanted to stop him at all. Now, Randy, I want to get your take on this. If you ever kind of got any interactions with hecklers on the field, a former Atlanta Falcon and known trash talker, Asante Samuel, actually spoke out about this as well.
You know, that was me all day. Somebody could get on my nerve, and I go say the most harshest thing. I talk about your mama. I don't care. If you're talking about me, I'm going to come talk about you. I live for that. I live and die for that. Y'all talk junk right behind me. As soon as I come intercept this ball, I'm gonna come talk about your kid. I'm talking about your mom. I'm talking about everything. I don't care. So leave the football players alone. If you ain't saying nothing positive, then if they come up in your face, we're aggressive. We're aggressive people. This is how we born, and this is what we do.
I love it. But, I mean, I've always said this. I'm a grown man before I'm anything. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And you're not going to talk to me any kind of way. And just because you buy a ticket does not mean that you can come talk crazy to people. And what I loved about it was, as soon as he went up there, what'd the fan do? Shut up. Mm-hmm. Remember that Russell Westbrook clip when the dude was talking crap and Russell flinched at him and the dude damn near fell off the banister thing? Yeah, man, you just can't be talking to people crazy, man. But, I mean, you have it all the time. Has it happened to me being happy? Yeah, I mean, that's part of being an athlete, especially on the road. Have I went to a point where I was about to go fight somebody? Nah. But I have, you know, somebody has said something and I have, like, turned around, gave him that stern look and looked at him. And
right.
It kind of quieted that, like that, I call it my daddy look. When mm-hmm. I look at the kids, like that's kind of what it was like. But, yeah, man.
You say suddenly they grabbed their popcorn real quick and did the
look
away.
Look the other way. But, yeah, it's going to be so much more this bowl and John, because I don't know what it is. 2018, mm-hmm. these fans getting reckless now with their mouth, man. They get real, real loose lips.
Yesterday was the 11-year anniversary, I believe, of the Malice in the Palace.
And you don't want another one of those.
No.
You don't want another one of those.
I'm here to tell you, it's going to happen again. And I hope not, but because of people like that, fans that just think they can say anything they want,
and they
it's
be drunk,
happen.
And they be drunk, and all. I get it, but dude, just watch the game, man.
I hate to tell you, a lot of these athletes are in way better shape than you
just
are.
Just boo. Uh-huh. Just boo. You know, you can throw a curse word here, but don't be too disrespectful with the curse word.
I saw Eagles fans, this was years ago, we played up there and torched the Eagles when they had Mike Vick and what was your boy's name? Nnamdi Asamoah.
Mm-hmm.
They went ham. Asamoah got burnt for like 190 by Julio.
But that was their fault, because if you would have watched Oakland when Nnamdi was there, Nnamdi was a zone corner that played mm-hmm. one side of the field.
Right.
And you try to bring him in and it happened like that.
Yeah, but they were brutal when Vic and Asamoah were leaving the field. I said, oh my goodness, I'm glad I don't live in Philly.
Yeah.
These fans are unruly.
And it did go down exactly like that too, if you go back and listen to it. As soon as he ran up into the stadium, this is the video, as soon as he runs up into the crowd, the fan was like, no, man, don't touch me, don't touch me.
Yeah.
It doesn't show the fan, but I could picture Ezell whenever Craig stepped to him outside the liquor store on Friday. So I want to thank TMZ for that audio and video. TMZ also caught up recently with Lil Wayne and asked him who he thought the GOAT was as far as the MJ-LeBron basketball conversation goes.
I'm a real sports guy, boy. That is a tough, tough question. These days they think the tough question is Jordan or LeBron. No. Jordan or Kobe is a tough question. Lord have mercy, please forgive me. God forgive me, Jordan forgive me, but it's Kobe.
How much lean is he on? Right,
he's
there?
On a whole lot right there. It's a crazy conversation. I really don't care. I think Michael Jordan is the best basketball player mm-hmm. I've ever seen. I think LeBron is the most talented basketball player I've ever seen. So, I mean, it's always going to be debates. I'm glad Kobe's finally trying to get in there a little bit, because Kobe was just awesome.
Well, today, Stephen A. Smith and guys must have had nothing else to talk about. Their topic today was, who would you rather have, Kevin Durant or Larry Bird?
Oh, yeah, because Larry came out, because Kevin Durant came out with some little smart aleck. You know how he is. He's crewed up now, so he missed a tough guy and want to say what he want to say now. But, I mean,
he's a slim reaper. Come on, bro.
Yeah, man. But, I mean, but these kids, these young, and I say these kids like my old, like I'm so old, but they don't value tradition like we did. You know what I'm saying? They don't value that. It's all about.
It's the me.
Yeah, they don't value it like they used to. But, hey.
Can we call this new generation the Squidbilly generation? Me. Me, me, me.
That's fine with me.
Look at me. Let's argue, Randy. I'm going to yell at you.
That's
go,
fine with
go Gators.
That's fine with me. Oh, somebody's talking trash. Let me jump in the conversation real quick and throw my two cents in. Yeah.
I love Bo. He argues with everybody about anything. It doesn't matter. Just arguing. Mark Owens. Me. More me.
Me, me, me. Look at me. Everybody look at me. Am I not, nobody's looking at me. Well, damn it. I'm going to make somebody look at me. I'm going to argue with you about anything. Me, 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 me.
Hey, Justin Fields, we're going to continue this conversation. We want to take a couple of calls as well, 404-741-0929. We got a Twitter poll up. We'll get to all of that. But could Justin Fields be eligible immediately if he decides to leave? There could be a loophole in the NCAA, and a former Georgia baseball player could give Justin an out. That's coming up next. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com.
It's 11 a.m. in the ATL, and you're listening to Rick and John on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
On the big news of the day, obviously, Justin Fields potentially transferring. And, Randy, you've been looking at Twitter a whole bunch. It goes back and forth that it's done, that it's not done, that it might be done, that it could be done.
Well, he might not even say nothing, you know. But I know Dan. I know Dan's very credible. So I mean, he doesn't make stuff up out the blue and all that. So, but I mean,
here's the part with Justin Fields that becomes maybe the conundrum that he has to deal with whether he's going to leave Georgia or not. NCAA rule is set up, if you transfer as an undergraduate, you must sit out a year. You don't lose the year of eligibility, but you have to sit out a year if you transfer, which means he would then go into 2019, not play football at all,
right?
And then 2020 be a redshirt sophomore with an opportunity to go out and play really his first year of full college football. But there's a loophole when it comes to Justin Fields, potentially. Remember what happened with the baseball player, and I don't remember the kid's name offhand, doesn't really matter, made some racial slurs towards Justin Fields, had to come out and openly apologize for it. Georgia baseball team said kick rocks.
Right.
The NCAA Division I Council provided a new guidance to schools regarding waivers for undergraduate transfers who felt they shouldn't have to complete the NCAA-mandated one-year residency. Here are the guidelines, and I'm going to read some of the guidelines as to why Justin Fields potentially could leave and be eligible to play immediately in 2019. Listen to number one closely. The transfer is due to documented mitigating circumstances that are outside the student's athlete control that directly impact the health, safety, and well-being of the student athlete. That's clause number one. Number two, at the time of the transfer to the certifying institution, the student athlete would have to have been athletically and academically eligible and in good standing. Shouldn't be a problem there. Number three, the certifying institution must certify that the student athlete meets the percentage of degree requirements and the previous institution's athletic administration does not oppose the transfer. So going back to the number one part of this, the student's athlete control and directly impact the health and safety and well-being of the student athlete.
Correct.
They could use, meaning Justin Fields and his family could use, look, we were treated racially insensitive. Mm-hmm. It's documented. A kid was kicked out of school. You know, maybe this happened more than once and this was the only documented incident. And I don't want to be at this school. And they might be able to get the NCAA to go with that because it is legitimate concerns of Justin Fields and his family.
And if I'm Justin and I'm trying to leave and go play right away, I'm using it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm damn sure I'm going to use it. I'm going to use whatever I can to get what I want. And if this is a way, and I wouldn't even say it's a loophole, John. I just think it's a factor in his decision. Hell yeah, I make it. But why not? Because we know that what he wants to do. I go back to Kyler Murray, his whole situation too. He 5-star quarterback goes to Texas A&M, you know, whatever, him and the kid. And but I don't know what Kevin Sumlin promised him.
Right.
He leaves, goes to Oklahoma, has to sit out a year, comes back in. He think he's going to play. Baker ain't going nowhere.
Right.
So he had to wait his turn. And he even talked about how frustrating that was because he's so used, just like Justin Fields is, so used to being the guy. You've never not been the starter. You've never not gotten all the reps. And now it's an adjustment for these young men. And if I'm Justin, if that's what I have to do to get out of my, you know, get out of my scholarship and be able to play right away, because I don't see – he's too big time for me to think that he's going to go to JUCO route.
Right.
I don't see any way in the hell that he goes down to play for 1 year and then come back up. I think if he doesn't get this waiver and has to sit out, why leave Georgia then?
But here's the problem with that. When is the waiver going to come from the NCAA? They dragged their feet with Shea Patterson for almost the entire offseason.
Exactly. I'm saying it could come all the way down to right before the season. Like you said, Shea, when did Shea find out? Summertime, right?
Yes, late summer.
Yeah, so it can go down like that. So you put this kid in a predicament where he is at a program where he doesn't want to be at. Mm-hmm. They all know it. So then you put him, he has to leave school or something like that. You know what I'm saying? So if he gets this waiver, it would be nice for the NCAA to go ahead and say, and move on. But
when has the NCAA ever done that?
Never.
They don't. And we'll get to some calls here in a moment at 404-741-0929. That leads us to, speculation season to, okay, if Justin Fields really is going to transfer, where is a place that makes the most sense? Because you look and you go, he's going to want to go somewhere guaranteed that he's getting the job.
Exactly.
Kelly Bryant, and it's a totally different scenario, as a fifth-year senior, he wasn't trying to go somewhere to compete. He wanted the job handed to him. Justin Fields is going to want to walk on campus and know, I will be the guy come your season opener in 2019.
Yeah, and I think that was the same thing what happened in Michigan. I think, because I mean, Christian McCaffrey's brother up there, and I'm sure Shea was like, what's my odds of being the starting quarterback?
Right.
And Justin, once again, he ain't going to Memphis or somewhere like it. No, he's going to the big boy. He's going to go to a big boy program because he know that's what's going to help his brand, to help him get out there to where he wants to be.
What would be some schools you put out there that you think he would go to right away?
The first one I thought about was Oklahoma.
Back-to-back Heisman Trophy
winners. And based on the fact that they're losing their quarterback, but they do got some five-star guy coming in. He did go down there and visit Florida during when he was before he decided to go to Georgia. He went down there and looked at Florida. Miami's an option. I mean,
Ohio State
definitely.
Dwayne Haskins
going to
leave.
I think he's better than Martell.
He is better than Martell.
Yeah, so I mean there are options at big time programs for this kid if he's able to get out of the scholarship, get the hardship thing, and go ahead and start next year as a sophomore.
Yeah, Oklahoma apparently has one of the top quarterbacks coming in pretty soon, which is going to make it different for them, because if you go out and get does Justin want to go in and fight with another 4 or 5 star recruit and try to win that job? Now, the selling point for Lincoln Riley would be real simple. I've had back-to-back Heisman Trophy winners, and they both transferred in here, and we both won Heisman Trophies. You know what this is going to be about. If it's Ohio State, you go, look at the numbers that Dwayne Haskins just put up, and we like a mobile quarterback.
Exactly.
You'll fit into this system better than Dwayne Haskins did, and Haskins put up monster numbers.
And I heard my man Chuckery and Fricky were talking. I think somebody said Auburn to run Gus's system. You know, because Gus's system works. I think Gus's system works better with a running quarterback that can throw instead of a passing quarterback that can run. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if that's Justin Fields all the way. But, yeah, I mean, there are going to be options, and everybody's going to lay it all on the line. I just think he's going to go somewhere where – I mean, and, of course, it'll come out, I want to compete. I think he wants to go somewhere where he knows that he'll probably be the starter.
Yeah, and by the way, the kid that's going to Oklahoma, Spencer Rattler, that's a great quarterback name. 6'1", 181-pounder. He's the number one quarterback in the country, 5-star recruit.
Going to Oklahoma.
Oh, going to Oklahoma.
And there it is.
So that may limit, hey, we're going to go to Oklahoma, because now Spencer Rattler is going to look around and go, wait a second.
Hold on now. Yeah, y'all didn't tell me this when y'all recruited me.
Right. Texas A&M would be an interesting one, although Kellen Mond's still a good QB.
Justin feels better, though.
He is better.
Yeah, Justin feels better.
LSU, obviously, they've been quarterback star forever.
Don't go to LSU if you're a quarterback, because you got Orgeron. I always want to be in the mess. Man, go over there, take your shirt off, go do some push-ups with the players. Leave offense to the offensive people. You want to be over there meddling around and we should run this. No.
How about this one? And I don't know if he'd have any ties to the West Coast. Chip Kelly needs a quarterback at UCLA.
That would be a great thing.
And you want to talk about going to be a superstar immediately?
In L.A.?
In L.A.?
Yeah. That'd be a big-time move. That might be your top of the list, but I doubt he won't.
Because who was the kid they had? Dorian Robinson-Finney? Yeah. He was not very good.
But they got another guy, though. I think they got another freshman that's out there. I think it was top five dual threat guy. Yeah.
They tried your boy out of Michigan. Oh, God. Wilton Spate.
That was a joke when it happened. But, no, I mean, and I'm about to say nobody don't want to go. Man, that's L.A. Mm-hmm. That's L.A., bro.
And it's Chip Kelly.
And it's Chip Kelly. It's L.A., palm trees, all that stuff.
Oregon. That would be another good spot.
And Crystal Ball can
can recruit.
Yeah, Crystal Ball, he just got the number one recruit in the country. So, yeah, Crystal Ball can get it done. So, I mean, those are great programs. It's all about, does he want to go that far away from home?
I'd go to Washington State, sling it everywhere.
Oh, hell no. No. Have you been to Pullum? I'm sorry, Ms. Bible. I'm not trying to talk about your school and everything. But
oh, by the way, Preacher Man just sent me a text. He had to go get an MRI today because, you know, obviously he was in the car accident. He's got some issues going on. Preacher Man goes, dude, I never want to go to have another MRI. That was some blank blank.
Yeah, MRIs stink.
That's the worst thing to go into. I would rather get shot with 6 needles than go sit in an MRI machine for 45 minutes.
45 minutes?
Or longer.
Yeah, I'm about to say, yeah, I've been in things a long time, man.
And you're bigger than I am.
And it's no fun.
It's a lot of MRIing going on whether you get in the machine.
Yeah, there's no fun in it.
I don't fit in the damn machine. That little tight space.
It's real condensed in there.
And it isn't always when you get in the MRI machine, something itches.
Yep.
And they're like, you can't move. I'm like, oh my God, my neck itches. I'm like, please let this thing stop so I can just go.
And I have moved 30 minutes into an MRI.
And you have to start over.
Yeah, I have moved before.
I told Paul, you cannot move. And he was like, how do they put you in there? I said, where are you getting the MRI? He said, like back here. I said, your whole head's getting shoved in that thing. You're going head first. Like I've had the Achilles done. That's not bad because they just stick your legs in the bottom and you're up top. You could do whatever the hell you want. When your whole body's in there, it is miserable. Let's take some calls on this, 404-741-0929. Andrew, what do you think about Justin Fields potentially leaving?
Hey, guys, what's going on, man?
Hey, man.
Great show, man.
Thank you. Listen,
man, I think Georgia did not do Justin Fields the right way. You bring in a 5-star. Obviously, you promised him something to bring him in. All they did was let him run. They should have developed him or redshirted him. If you weren't going to use him when you put him in the game, the same way like they did with David Green and Wally was there. Give him some more playing time. Yes, I agree that Jake Fromm had a good year, but you can't bring in a kid that talented and just put him in the game just to run. Develop him. Let him throw so he could improve. So I think the kid is 6'3". He has pro prospect. Why not go to a school where he can play and develop his skills so he can get to the NFL?
That's what he's going to do.
And that's what he's looking for.
That's what he's looking for. Thanks for the call. We said that earlier. I mean, they didn't use him the way I think that he thought he was going to be used, and he's too talented of a player. And, I mean, I said this back in the spring. They're not redshirting him. There's no way that he's going to redshirt. I mean, I'm sure they promised him that he was going to get some playing time. I don't think they promised him he was going to win the starting job. I think they said that he can compete for it. And I also think that helped Jake Fromm be a better player because ain't nothing like competition brings out the best in all of them.
Sure.
You know, everybody wants to be on the field. As great a leader and great a team player Jake Fromm is, Jake Fromm don't want to come off the field when Justin Fields comes on. I mean, yeah, we high-five and yeah, that's my brother and all that. No, I want to play.
But see, here's the thing. I think they could have redshirted him with how sparingly they used him in many games. You want to let him play against Austin Peay, Middle Tennessee, UMass, and I don't know, Georgia Tech, Missouri, Vanderbilt. You could have played him in the 4 games and sat him the other one, still got him about the same reps that you got, and told him, look, now you're not going to lose a year of eligibility and you got to play.
I agree with you, but I told you that wasn't going to happen. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? That was not – because I'm sure that wasn't the talking points that, you know, Georgia used with him and his family. They said this kid is going to play this year. Mm-hmm. And that's the only thing I hate about – I'm not a fan of the four-game thing. I hate it because of the simple reason is, if you're going to let me play, don't put me out of 4 games and then not play. You know what I'm saying? If I'm going to play, I want to play.
See, I'm just the opposite. I like the fact that you can play and still redshirt and not burn a year and at least see what some of these kids can do in some mop-up duty. Let's go to Jay in the truck. Jay, he is not going to North Avenue. Just letting you know.
Damn,
he's not
hater.
Going. What's up, Jay?
What up, hater?
Don't be that guy, bro. You are the hater. No. Hey, look out in the mail. I got a local phone for you.
Jay, you're breaking up on us bad.
The phone guy's got you, hater.
I don't know what was going on.
Ahead, but get the phone fixed, Georgia Tech.
Yeah, I was going to say, you were thinking engineer school.
Yeah, engineer school, you have some great phones. All right, step, Jay.
Let's go to Joseph. Joseph wants to sound off. Joseph, what you got?
First of all, guys, thanks for having me on there. I love the show. Listen, I know Justin Fields passed the eye test, but you guys are getting all crazy over somebody that really hadn't proved himself to me at all. The Alabama game was, to me, a good measuring stick. He looked nervous. Guys, you got Jake Fromm out there who's got you to the show almost twice. You know, let's quit feeling sorry for people. You know, you go to school, it's a competition. This automatically, I'm getting started. Hell, when I was growing up, most freshmen didn't play till their sophomore year.
I agree.
This is ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not fawning over him at all. I mean, I'm with you. I mean, you look what Jake has done. There's no reason for anybody – well, I'm sure there are because I won't speak as it's a consensus thing, but I mean, Jake has he done anything not to be a strong quarterback at Georgia?
No.
Is he the reason you didn't win a national title?
Absolutely.
Is he
not
the reason you didn't beat Alabama? Nope. No. It's not on him. So I mean, that's what I'm saying. If he was a quarterback, and that's why I go back to the Clemson and I go back to the Bama situation. It's just completely different things. Mm-hmm. It's completely different. And so that's why I'm like, hey.
And here's the thing. As far as fawning over Justin Fields, we can only go off what we saw in high school and the limited time he was in there. No, he hadn't proven anything that he could be a starter from day one. We have seen, and I kind of chronicled earlier on in the show, all of the top recruited quarterbacks, and that was a list, and there were a lot of those guys that couldn't play.
Right.
They looked great in high school, and they couldn't play. We hope and we think Justin Fields can play. And there's going to be another program, if he decides fully to leave Georgia, that is going to grab him as quickly as he will commit.
He will be the my man Chuckery says, he'll be a top free agent coming out.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody's going to want this kid because you see the potential. And like you said, John, you saw promise in the limited times he got, and then you saw what he did in high school. Mm-hmm. You said nervous. I didn't see nervousness in the kid at all.
No.
I just saw a freshman, and he was not ready. I just don't think he was ready to lead that team last year.
And you know what's funny? If you go back, go look at Tua in the national title game. His first drive or two, he looked like a freshman. He looked nervous. And then all of a sudden, he settled in, and he made that play with his legs, and the rest, as we say, is history. Let's take one more. Mark has been hanging on. Mark, what's going on? How you doing?
Hey, guys, doing good. How y'all doing today?
Doing well.
Good. Well, I just wanted to comment a couple things on the whole Justin Fields thing. I appreciate Justin and everything he tried to do, and I think you guys were right whenever you said that he thought he was going to come in and take the job from Jake. But, you know, Jake has ran out 2 5-star quarterbacks out of Athens, and, you know, there's something to be said for that. And, you know, another thing, whenever you are recruiting in the deep recruiting waters that Georgia is these days, and you're recruiting on a national scale, this kind of stuff's going to happen.
Yeah.
And you know what? It won't be the last big-time quarterback that comes into Athens and probably ends up leaving with his tail between his legs a little bit. I mean, I know that's kind of a pride check for a young man like that. But you know what? This team is absolutely loaded. I mean, just absolutely loaded, and this class that's coming in is going to be no different. So I do worry about Jaden Hazelwood now with Justin not coming in. But another thing, what do you guys think about Justin going to Florida State?
Oh, we talked about that. But Hazelwood, I mean, the receiver, yeah. You go kick rocks too. I don't want to go because, man, to take your ass on somewhere else then, man.
We'll take him.
Get on my damn nerves thinking they can run stuff.
Hey, we'll take him. Just telling you, we'll take him. Hey, the dog walk's going to be simple. Zach Klein, you know him from WSB. He's a sports director over there. He wears really nice suits as well. We'll talk to him next on the latest on Justin Fields on Sports Radio.
Let's head up the 316 and go between the hedges. This is Rick and John's Dog Walk.
On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Oh, we've been spending a lot of time talking about Justin Fields. We also have the Zion Williamson quote board out there, which is very interesting. Wendy just added a quote that said, Zion cannot selfie as well as she does.
And there it is.
Which is very true. And we've also learned Andy Bunker got a new phone, yes, which is nice. He still had an iPhone 3? Like, I didn't know the iPhone 3 still worked. Because, you know, Apple will update their stuff immediately, and all of a sudden you're out.
Yeah, but no, I've been, as long as I've been knowing Andy since he's been here, he's had that phone, and I would always clown him, especially when he got the full-time gig like Andy. It's time to upgrade the phone. And he's a lot like me, because, I mean, I had an old iPhone, and as long as it worked, I was good. I didn't use, you know, how they do the update thing. Mm-hmm. I never, ever pressed it. I was always scared it was going to erase something. So now, I mean, it does it on its own now. But like I said, I don't know how to do nothing on the phone. I don't know how to do the videos for the Instagram stories and all that, because I don't really care. And like I said, only thing I just learned the
Bitmoji.
The Bitmoji. I'm so damn fine. My Bitmoji. I'm so fine on that thing. But yeah, but good for Andy, man. It's about time. You got a grown man job, a grown up job.
Get you
a grown man phone.
Get away from the Motorola Razr. Well, this guy's got a grown up job, and he wears great suits on TV. Suits that I can't fit because, let's be honest, they make certain patterns for certain body types, and my body type is not what Zach Klein wears. Zach, what's up, man? How you doing?
Gentlemen, well, I have to bring my suit game every day at Channel 2 because my guy Craig Lucey thinks his suit game is strong and he always tries to represent on the 4 o'clock show, so I just got to trump him in style and profile for the 6 o'clock. So that's why I got to bring it each
there
and every
you go.
Day.
Here's how we know you've got a good suit game. When you start having the elbow pads on there like Thomas Dimitrov has,
that's
when I know you got
grown.
A grown man
that's
suit
grown.
Game. I still go to K&G and get the 2 for $99. That's about all I'll go with.
Yeah, you look good in the sidelines, man. You're always so fresh and clean, so mad respect.
I wouldn't go. I just look angry right now. Let's talk about what's going on. Justin Fields, the latest on what's going on with him. Zach, have you been able to confirm at all that he is definitely leaving, like the Dan Wolken report has said?
No, I mean, that's definitely not the case. I mean, I think Kirby Smart and the Bulldog coaching staff guys are very hopeful that he has a change of heart. I mean, is it a possibility? Without question. Is it likely? Without question. But is there still a chance he does change his heart and returns to Athens? Of course. Until that, you know, paperwork is signed, you know, Kirby and his guys are holding out hope that they can somehow say, listen, man, we saw what happened with Alabama. We saw how Jake got the job initially. You know, you're a twisted knee, a busted ankle away from starting and leading this team on offense. So they're holding out hope. Is it likely that he returns? No, but it is definitely not a done deal one way or the other.
Hey, Zach, walk me through how do you think they approached him after he decommitted from Penn State and everything, opened up his recruitment, and ultimately did sign with Georgia? How did it go? Was it a case of, we'll let you compete for the job, or are you going to come in and play a little bit more than you did?
No, without question. I mean, you talk to Kirby each and every week. He says it publicly, and he says it privately, and he learned from the best in Saban that every single position, every single practice is open to whoever comes out on top, and whoever comes out on top will start next Saturday's game. And he believes it. It inspires competition and practice. You know how the game works. And that's why they're so successful. He knows that competition breeds success. And in order to have success, though, you have to have depth at the at these individual positions. So what does he do? He goes to Justin Fields and he says, listen, man, we want you. You're the number one guy out there. This is your home state school. Compete for the job. I am not promising you anything. So those people out there that say Kirby lied to the guy to get him in Athens, that's total bullcrap. Kirby says, you come in, I will give you every opportunity to compete with Justin, or Jake rather, and earn the starting job. If you beat him out, it is yours. But that just didn't happen. So I don't think Kirby led him astray from the get-go. Kirby was upfront. He was honest with him from the jump, guys. And let's just be real. He just didn't beat out a quarterback who's 23-4 and led a team to back-to-back SEC titles, Rose Bowl, Sugar Bowl. It just didn't happen.
Zach Klein, our guest right now on the WadeFord.com hotline. You know him, WSB Sports Director. Zach, you've got a couple of videos up on your Twitter feed, at Zach Klein, WSB. One, Justin Fields leaving the field against South Carolina, and there's some explicit language in there. And then two, a sit-down after the SEC championship game talking about his role at Georgia. Did you see the visible frustration from him that's really portrayed in these videos?
Well, first and foremost, let me start with the latter video. You know, Kirby Smart has an awful rule that freshmen are not allowed to talk until after the regular season is over and basically when it's out of his control. And the SEC championship game is out of his control, so those freshmen have to talk and are available. So, there's a time and place for everything, right, guys? So this is the first time we get to talk to Justin Fields. It's after the SEC championship game where he was involved in a crucial fourth down call. Everybody wants to talk to him about that, but we also want to know what's his psyche been like the last 4.5 months, because we haven't visited with him in August, September, October, November. So his range of emotions was all over the map. You had his heart ripped out from being involved in the SEC championship game and then trying to rehash what happened the last 4 months, and he's getting blitzed for 30-plus minutes in an open locker room session by everybody who comes to his stall. He did a great job of deflecting, not answering the question, and being very professional in a very tough situation that his head coach put him in. As for the second video that we posted last night, I had my producer, Justin Reed, when the news broke, I said, listen, Justin, I need my producer, Justin Reed, say, I need video of Justin Fields so we can put it in our show. And he's just scrolling through the games looking for video, and all of a sudden we're like, he's like, Zach, did you hear this? I'm like, no. And he played it for me, and you saw a very frustrated, distraught Justin Fields leaving the game at South Carolina week two after Georgia won by 24 points, saying he was basically frustrated. I'm going to keep this rated PG for your radio audience, that he had to hand the ball off, and then he basically wasn't in there all that time. All that much. And it followed up what he was talking about, guys, from the SEC championship game, where he admitted publicly that he was very frustrated with his role at the beginning of the season. So when he says that, and then we have video to compliment and show his frustrations, that's why we decided to run the video at that point, kind of clearly show his role and how he was handling things early on in the year.
Zach, when we figured out that and found out that, you know, starting the first game, it was going to be Jake Fromm, what did you think his role was going to be this year? Because I told people I get frustrated when he's in for just one play. I actually thought that they would do a lot like how Mark Richt did with Greeny and in Shock. Were you surprised at how limited he had, or how limited of a role that he had this season?
Yes. Do I think Chaney and Kirby could have used him better? Without question. If you use him at all, you got to use him to the skills that he presents and what makes him different from Jake Fromm. I mean, this is Jake Fromm's team. Let's just be clear. And the only reason Justin was going to get in the game was for a small package or two, or when they were blowing out the opponent, right? I mean, but to average, what, 3 passing attempts a game in his 12 games? That's not using his skill set to the best of his ability. Do I think if they misled him? No. Could I use him better? Of course.
Zach, I want to ask you, I went to 24/7 Sports, and they had 11 of the last 19 5-star recruits have transferred. Did you ever think we'd get to this day and age where high school football seniors go to a school and then they're leaving sooner than making a name for themselves?
Of course. It's the me generation. It's this generation that all they know about is seeing themselves on nationally televised game when they're these elite prospects. All they know is all the tweets from everywhere across the country praising them, love, and showering them with hearts emoji saying, you need to come to our school. They all want to be in the spotlight. They all want the national attention. Now, I'm not taking a shot here at Justin. That's every one of these college kids. I talked to one college coach guy who told me they spend 75% of the freshman's year breaking them down from entitlement from what they had in high school. Just think about that. 75% is breaking them down from everything that they thought the real world is like, and that's just not the case. It's about playing in these national televised games in the Final Four, and basically if you don't do that, like, you suck. And Kirby kind of alluded to that yesterday in his press conference, saying, guys, we're playing in the Sugar Bowl. Like, growing up, the Sugar Bowl was huge. It was everything. And he's like, I'm trying to tell our guys the value, the importance, the legacy, the moments you can create from this game. And they don't even know about Robert Edwards, let alone, Herschel Walker. So trying to educate this generation of athletes is challenging because it's all about them. Do I blame Justin Fields guys for leaving? No. He tried. I respect him, mad respect for coming in and giving it a shot. But no, I don't blame him at all from knowing that there's no opportunity for growth at Georgia.
Zach, we know that, there's this hardship thing that's going on right now for Justin, what happened with the baseball player earlier on this season. If there's a chance of him getting this hardship thing and being able to play next season, but we know the NCAA can drag your feet to the summer, do you think he stays at Georgia until that comes through, or do you think he just leaves school altogether?
I think he leaves school altogether. I mean, it would be a fascinating case to obviously file, guys. I don't know too much in it. I mean, I know obviously it happened. It was horrific and disgusting. I also know that his sister's at the school going to play for the softball team. So, you can read into that how you see fit. I think he's gone no matter what at the end of the day. He wants to play. He thinks he deserves to play. And whether he sits out another year and then is the starter for at least 2 years, I think that's the path he's going to have.
Zach, you had a chance last year to go to the Rose Bowl, and obviously Georgia doing their thing, playing for a national title. What do you think the psyche of this team is going to be like for the Sugar Bowl? Because we've seen SEC teams, whether I believe it or not, kind of lay an egg in bowl games when they're not going for the biggest prize. Do you think Kirby will have this team motivated the right way with all of this drama going on for the Sugar Bowl?
Yeah, I think it was distracting, guys, at first. I mean, I sat down with Fromm yesterday and said, just kind of like a nice consolation prize. And he's like, yeah, this is not the bowl game we wanted to be at the beginning of the year. Let's just be clear. But I'm excited to be there. So I think once the emotion, and it's going to take a little while, maybe until they get to New Orleans, and then they're like, all right, we're definitely not going to Dallas. We're definitely not going to the Orange Bowl. We're here. It's a great city. Let's make the most of it. I think they'll have kind of a pity party until they get there. And once they get there, they will enjoy the moment. We'll have a lot of fun things to do in the Big Easy. They'll come together. Kirby and his coaching staff will fire these guys up, get them on point to play, and maybe let some of those frustrations out on a Texas team that has a lot more to play for, right? They're playing for more respect than Georgia. Georgia should win. They're expected to win. But at the end of the day, guys, I do think Georgia comes out focused. I think they're ready to get after it. And I think they take care of Texas pretty easily, as a matter of fact.
Zach, thanks for taking the time today. We know it was busy. Thanks for coming on here.
Thanks, Zach.
Hey, guys, much love. Happy holidays and talk soon.
Take care.
Absolutely. Zach Klein, our guy, on Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. Don't forget, this April, spend your spring break on a Royal Caribbean cruise with Atlanta football players Grady Jarrett, Deion Jones, Rico Allen, and Devondre Campbell. Hosting the cruise are going to be the voices of the Atlanta Falcons radio network. That'll be Wes Durham and Dave Archer. Join the Atlanta Falcons radio network. Kick off your season in style. Go to the event page, 92.9thegame.com, to book your cruise vacation today. When we come back, college football cheat sheet. What did Dan Wolkin have to say? He thinks this is a done deal. He was on the morning show. We'll hear some of that next on Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Rick and John have the latest news from college football and want to hear from you. 404-741-0929. This is the College Football Cheat Sheet on Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
All right, it's time for the College Football Cheat Sheet, brought to you by R.S. Andrews. Keep cool. Get an R.S. Andrews Precision AC tune-up. Another way they make you smile at rsandrews.com. We'll play a couple of bits of sound here of what was said. Kirby Smart had some things to say about bowl games, but I want to get to Dan Wolkin first and foremost. We were spending a lot of time talking about what's going on with Justin Fields. Is he going to transfer? Is he not going to transfer? Dan Wolkin was on with the morning show this morning, and he started talking about, you know, basically, hey, this thing is a done deal. You know, Zach Klein said, hey, there's still a possibility he stays at Georgia. There are other outlets, ESPN and others, that say, it's not a guarantee that he's leaving yet. There's tweets that have said Justin Fields' family has not made up their mind whether he's going to leave or not. But Dan Wolkin, he was pretty demonstrative with what he said to John. And John,
Justin Fields and his camp notified Georgia that they have an intent to transfer. Georgia has, I believe, until the end of the day today to put that into the NCAA system. Where we are is he has notified Georgia of his intent to transfer. That's a fact, and it's not in dispute.
Wow.
It's camp. I like that.
It's camp. Like an
18-year-old kid or 19-year-old got a camp.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
got an entourage.
I think we'd be more surprised if he did stay. You know, even if this story didn't break, I was still thinking, I didn't hear any rumbles. That's just my gut feeling. I said, he's not coming back. I always thought that. And, you know, that's just where we are. I mean, we go back to that list that you said back since 2011, right?
Right.
You said 2011?
2011.
Yeah, since 2011. 11. I mean, that's just what they do. And it's because these kids want to be the guy.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? They don't want to wait for it anymore. I hate to say they don't want to compete for, but they don't. They don't want to stay and compete for. They want to take the easy way out. And they have all the more power to them. I'm with, hey, young man, you want to be a star? Go find a way to be a star.
And here's the thing. I'm not knocking the kids of this
generation.
I never
knock them.
Not at all.
I stopped. I'll tell you what. I stopped probably about 4 years ago. Because I wanted to stop driving myself crazy.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I was driving myself crazy thinking about, oh, they don't want to compete. You know what? Hell yeah, why not go?
They are different than the way we grew up, and it is a me generation, and a lot of it has to do with social media and has to do with instant access on your cell phone and everything else. I think about, you know, what do most kids want to do in high school? They want likes on their picture. I didn't get enough likes on this picture.
I got to take it down.
I got to take it down. It's only got 25 likes. It's only got 30 likes. I'm not popular enough. The difference when we were in school, popularity was, all right, did you score a touchdown on Friday night?
That, or could you throw them hands?
One or the other.
Yeah, that was pretty much, we didn't cyberbully each other. We just beat up each other.
Right, you know? Or did you have that rap game with the female?
Yeah, that was the most important thing. But no, this kid, and I said it earlier in the show, and for grown men to be going after this young man.
You guys are idiots.
You should be ashamed of your damn self. I mean, he's a young man who just wants to be happy. Mm-hmm. He wants to play. I mean, you can't fault these kids anymore for just wanting to play, because I'll say it again. Watch some more shows and watch these kids that look like morons with the four hats out there.
Mm-hmm.
And all of them going to lead their whole – this is how they go. First, I want to thank God. That'll mm-hmm. be it in there.
Yep.
I want to thank my teammates.
My family.
And for my next 3 to 4 years. Because they're thinking about going to get their money.
Right.
And, young man, I ain't mad at you.
Let's be real. A lot of them are the meal ticket for their family.
Yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with that. You're the athlete that can get out.
I was.
So be it.
Yeah.
And there's – hey, if that's your way to get out and you make it to the NFL, you want the best chance – to go out there and play. I also remind people, these kids are playing basically for a scholarship and nothing else. They're not getting paid for this.
Yeah.
They don't owe your college anything. I've never once been mad at a kid for transferring. I'll get mad at the coach potentially for using a kid wrong or kicking him out of school or doing something like that. I'm not getting mad at the 18 to 22-year-old that goes, I'm going to do what's best for mom and grandpa and uncle and everybody else that might be dependent on me to get my college education and go play somewhere else.
And this is not going to change. Nope. That's what I'm saying. This is not going to change. It's not going to change at Georgia. It's not going to change at Bama.
Nope.
Any of these schools that recruit like these guys do, it's not going to – you're going to recruit the top guys. Mm-hmm. You're going to sell them on the fact that you could compete and come here. Now, Justin was just in a point where he was competing against a really good damn player. Right. You know what I'm saying? Like I said, you can see if Fromm's game fell off, okay, but his game didn't fall off. No. Johnny got better, actually.
He did.
You know what I'm saying? So it was going to be hard for him to beat him out.
And not just that, Randy, there's rumors that, and it's sophomore year, but there's rumors that Jake Fromm might be a four-year QB.
I think he's a four-year. I think he's going to be one. But who knows if he goes out and have a big junior year.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? He's not going to be a 4,000. He's not going to put up Big 12 numbers.
Right.
It's just not. That's just not how Georgia's going to run the offense, how we're going to run it. But, I mean, anything can happen. And I look at Jake Fromm, I look at him as a four-year guy.
Let's hear a little from Kirby Smart, and they're getting ready for the Sugar Bowl. And I asked Zach Klein, does he think the team will be motivated? And he said, yeah, he believes so. But here's something that Kirby Smart says about bowl games and how they're less meaningful.
It's been a big topic of conversation for our staff because what you find is where a traditionalist like myself and probably my age and older see bowl games, and the Sugar Bowl in particular, a certain type way. And it's kind of like talking to our players about Herschel Walker. You know, they don't have memories of that. They don't know that. They don't – shoot, our guys don't remember Robert Edwards. It's just very different and a very delicate situation because you have to make football meaningful and fun. To us, there is a ton meaningful about an opportunity to play another football game to increase your legacy as a senior class. But sometimes to a senior class, you have to be careful that they don't see it like it's punishment.
I mean, yeah. I mean, I go back to when I was in school, and we went to the Outback Bowl. Dude, that was such a big deal to play on January 1st.
Yep.
I mean, that was a big deal. And I love what Zach was saying. I love the fact that these kids are disappointed mm-hmm. in going to Sugar Bowl. But at the same time, once you get down there, everything, because it's damn New Orleans. I mean,
right.
That is my favorite city to go to. But I'm just saying, I mean, these kids, they'll be all right. But he's right. And I love what Zach talked about. College coaches, 75%, you gotta break these kids. You got to mm-hmm. break them out of that entitlement because they don't know no better because that's how they were raised. I mean, they and not saying they were raised in the wrong way. I'm just saying they have been to a point where you said it was social media and things like that. These kids are being praised in their butt kisses. They was eighth grade.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I mean –
Sometimes younger than that.
So, but yeah, I mean, I'm sure when they get down there, but I like the fact that these guys are disappointed that they're not playing for a championship.
Yeah, I don't mind them being disappointed, but if you're going to go out there and lace them up, go lay it on the line.
Oh, yeah,
go play ball.
And see, that's why I think having Kirby there, they won't be flat because you get to play Texas, and that's a big deal. And then you get to play in the Sugar Bowl, and the Sugar Bowl is the funnest bowl. I don't care what nobody says.
But here's the thing. You say that. Nick Saban, his boss, twice has gone to the Sugar Bowl, not making it to a championship, and they've laid an egg.
Yeah.
Utah mud stomped him, and Oklahoma threw all over the field on
him.
And those are two games that Alabama was a better football team, but they got down there, and they didn't play to their level. So I'm hoping Kirby takes some of what he learned.
I do, because I don't want to see my dogs look bad. You know what I'm saying? Is it a bigger program builder for Texas than Georgia?
Of course it is.
Yes, it is. Mm-hmm. And I can't stand Tom Herman anyway. I'm going to punch him in his eye.
But, and Rick. That's something you and Rick agree upon.
I don't like. He's just a whiny little baby. I'm about to call him a baby.
I like Tom Herman.
I don't like Tom Herman at all. But with that being said, I mean, I would like to think that these kids would be ready to go and ready to play.
I think we're starting to realize them. I want the little guy to win. I wanted UCF to have a chance. Although now they're really annoying on Twitter.
But see, you know what?
Is it my own fault?
You and the turtleneck guy, another guy that I'll punch in his left eye.
Well, I'd punch
y'all,
him too.
Y'all are just egging them on. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, we do the bowl sheets and we pick the bowl. I picked them to beat LSU.
Yeah.
I think they beat LSU.
Now, if they beat LSU.
If they beat LSU, that'd be so funny.
You will never hear the
never,
end of it.
Never, ever hear the end of it. Ever.
You know what they were arguing with me about yesterday? We had game day there this year. And game day's been to Miami, Florida State, Georgia like 50 times.
That's a big deal for them. That's what I said.
Know.
You got to let them have it because they are the best team in Florida. Now, as far as all-time popular –
it's not even
give
close.
Give me a damn break. Yeah. Just give me a break.
Game day also goes to North Dakota State.
They've been to North Dakota State twice, haven't they? They've been to, like, Wofford before.
Yeah. I mean, they went to James Madison last year.
They did.
Yeah, that's right.
Hey, get over yourself, UCF. You know, go claim another fake national title. I'm off. I'm done with them.
No, you're not. You're because nah. You were part of it. You were part
I'm not
of
a
it.
Part of it. My, I have an opinion.
My Sports Radio 92.9 The Game Top 10.
It is, and it'll be back next year. Let them boys be undefeated. They might be preseason number one next year. We go around the 404. The latest with the Atlanta Falcons, including another injury. We'll talk about that next. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9TheGame.com.